Welcome back to Cognac and Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we're back for another week. And I just want to apologize to you in advance for this one.
Wait, why are you apologizing in advance? Taylor apologizing?
I'm apologizing in advance.
Why? For this one. Wait, why?
It's bad. It's bad, man.
How is it bad?
It's dark.
Oh, you love a good dark episode.
I know. But, I mean,
what do you mean you mean?
I feel like a lot of the stuff is kind of like, because we do like more so black true crime podcasts, mm-hmm. a lot of these stories are stories that aren't very like, I don't know, talked about, or like they didn't get covered that much on news stories. So I feel like when people hear them, they're like, what the fuck? Like, when did this happen? Or when did that happen? Have we talked? I guess, well, you'll let me know if we've talked about this one before. But it's dark. I'm going to apologize to you in advance. Trigger warning to my people, because I'm trying to be, you know, respectful. This does contain crimes against children. So we're going to go there with it. So if you're sensitive to that, don't do it. I'll just traumatize my friend. I won't traumatize you guys.
I think the podcast has already done enough damage. No, I don't know what shocks me.
If you pull this up at this point, you know what you're pulling up. Like, come on, bro.
Oh, the podcast?
Yes!
No, I think we have done a better job about pre-warning people. Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't get a pre-warning, but, you know, screw me.
You can't, because then it will fuck up the episode. Just fuck me. All right, so let's get into it. Just wanted to warn y'all about that.
Okay, okay.
And let's get into it. Okay. So we're going to talk about the case of Michelle Blair. Have you ever heard of her?
Mm-mm.
Not much is known about Michelle Blair. I'm assuming it's pronounced Michelle. That's how it's like Michelle with a T.
Michelle with a T?
MITCHELLE.
Oh, yeah.
I think that T is just there.
But that's like how you said that would be Michelle. Michelle.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. Fuck her. Not much is known about her early life. This is one of the more recent cases, and, you know, I tend to like those. Mm-hmm. She's still alive to this day. A lot is known about her early life other than she grew up in Michigan. She grew up in a single parent house home with her mother. I don't think she had any siblings. The only people who really are at liberty to, like, I guess, discuss her early life either don't want to, or like their family members, as far as like aunts, uncles, or whatever, or they're kind of like psychologists that she's seen. And as you know, psychologists can't.
Yeah, they
can't disclose information. But in her interviews, she has mentioned that she said that her early life was not, this is according to her, that her early life was not good. She actually was the victim of sexual abuse as a child. And it kind of is she's kind of inferred that she was the victim of sexual abuse multiple times. So if you watch her prison interviews or any other like Crime Watch Daily interviews, she talks about this, and she says that one of the most upsetting times in her childhood was basically she was got sexually abused by one of her mother's friends who was also a woman. And she said that her mother was like, her personality was like a big personality. Mm-hmm. Her mother had a big personality, and everyone just knew her as like this woman who was like, oh, she's gonna tell like it is. She's gonna say
her mom,
how she feels. Yeah, her mother, Michelle's mother. And when she told her that her mom had sexually, when she told her mom that her friend had sexually abused her, her mother said, according to her, well, the shit is over with. Like, what the fuck do you want me to do about it?
Her mom said that?
Yeah, to her. Yeah.
So that was really traumatizing.
Yes, mm-hmm. obviously. So she said that her mom was just basically like, okay, like, you're telling me this for what? The shit is done. What am I supposed to do? And obviously she was like, what the fuck you mean? What are you supposed to do?
Why would her mom go about it like that? Like, it's like, so her mom has this like big personality. I guess, like I said, like, that's really devastating as a kid. Cause not only are you devastated that your mom's not going to help you, but I feel like that's a moment where you realize like your mom's character wasn't what you thought it was.
Right.
I see how that could be like a, you know, like a life changing moment where maybe, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but maybe what turned her life in a different direction, because like that'd be very upsetting to me. Like I said, and everybody else in her life, she's calling people out left and right. But when you're like, hey mom, like someone actually did me dirty, abused me, your mom's like, and like, that's wild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So she talks about that. And here's the thing. I want to put like clips from her interviews and things like that in there, but they're wild as fuck.
The interviews?
Yeah. The interviews, the confessions, like all the stuff, like they're really intense, mm-hmm. but I feel like they're kind of like the glue to the story that makes okay. gets you to understand just how, I guess, disturbed this woman was.
Okay.
So, sorry, y'all. We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to put them in or not, but I guess I warned you.
You could rate the, can you rate the episode? Because I saw that, like, when I was just rambling on, like, our podcast page, and I think we don't have, like, a rating. I don't know if you can rate episode by episode.
True.
Like, maybe I would have rated. Like, if you put the clips in there, like...
Like, you can rate it as far as, like, how disturbing
Like, oh. but it would be, like, almost like a movie rating, I think. So, I don't think it would be, like, you could, maybe you could put the trip. I think you can put a rating on it.
Rated R.
Yeah. That's it. If you want to put it, you could just rate it super, whatever is the highest rating, huh?
I said all our shit is rated R.
Yeah, for real. Down to this cursing, there's a lot in the episodes.
Okay. So, that's one of the things that, you know, she has admitted about her childhood. Aside from that, there's not really much we know about her childhood. But we do know that she does have some past trauma related to sexual abuse. This will be important later on in the episode. So as we fast forward, she grows up, goes about her business, goes about her life. And she ends up meeting a man by the name of Alexander J. Dorsey. And he actually fathers her first two daughters, her first two children.
Okay.
So Stoney Blair. And then I feel like I can't confirm the other daughter's name. Like, this is her oldest daughter.
Okay.
And I've been trying to, like, find, but there's, like, different names. So I'm just going to say she had her oldest daughter because I don't want to say the wrong name. And I think at this point, she's, like, as a matter of fact, I know at this point, she's just, like, she's grown. So she's
gone?
Yeah. Well, okay. She's an adult and her mother committed certain crimes. So I don't know if she doesn't gonna be want associated people to associate, okay. you know, things like that. So her oldest that might be it. Why it's so hard to find to me. And there are names, but there's multiple. So whatever, it doesn't matter. Mm. Her oldest daughter and her youngest daughter, Stoney Blair, middle child. And so they date for a while. That's her baby daddy. They're, you know, getting on. They break up. Moving on. After that, she meets a man named Stephen Blair, and he fathers two of her youngest children, Stephen, who is named after his father, obviously, and then Matthew. So those are her two youngest children, two boys, two girls. So they're going about their life, and then things kind of start to pop up that suggest that Michelle is not taking care of her children correctly. So Child Protective Services were actually called twice, once in 2002 in September and once in February of 2005. And so there were claims of child neglect, child abuse. And they did actually look into this, but get this, this is the crazy part to me, in my opinion. They were able to substantiate the claims of abuse. So basically they found out that, yes, she was abusing the children, but she was able to keep custody of the children. All she had to do was take a class.
Wait, what?
Like go to counseling and take classes. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know that. But yeah. Like what type of, I mean, what? I'm just so confused. Like I guess maybe... Like what type of abuse is permissible to be like, oh, we're putting them back? Like, maybe, I keep trying to think, like, what could be a minor? Maybe, like, not bathing them, but that's still child.
No. It was physical abuse. Yeah, it was physical abuse and neglect.
Like, what county is this? Like, what?
This is Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is Detroit Public Schools. So, and this is in 2002 and again in 2005. So.
She took a class?
She had to take, I don't know the specific, but like anger management, parenting, whatever the fuck, but she was allowed to retain custody of her children.
That's hard. It's like, because I feel like, it's a double, it's not double-edged sword really, but it's like, you don't want to like rip children from their parents, but I do think that a bit more, you know, maybe you need to go somewhere for a little bit, but there's a bit more rehabilitation to be done than be like, okay, like take this like class. I feel like that's kind of like, Yeah, that's shocking.
Because the reason that they were on the radar is because of the physical marks.
On the kids.
Yes, on the children. They went to school and would have marks, or like neighbors would see marks and things like that. Like physical, obviously scars and things like that. You're hitting, in order to scar someone, you have to hit them very hard.
And they pressed charges on the...
On the mother?
Yeah.
No. Nothing was done. Other than them being like, yeah, she been whooping their ass real bad. Send her to anger management. But they left the children in that household.
That's shocking. That's shocking to me. I think that is, that's a miss by, like, the Detroit Police Department. Again, I know people are like, oh, like, you know, you never want to snatch children from their parents. But that's crazy. Like, she should be definitely, like, held accountable for abusing her children. And then I know it, like, sucks to place them somewhere else. And it's not going to be forever. But I think that that's kind of neglectful to say, well, you could stay while she's... And even this fact they're staying with her while she's taking the class is kind of crazy.
They were. So, as time went on, kind of, like, around, like, 2012... people started to not see two of the children anymore. So Stephen, who is the oldest boy, and Stoney, who's the youngest girl. Both middle children. Because remember, she has the oldest daughter.
Yeah.
And then she has the youngest son, who's Matthew. And when people would ask her, like, hey, where's Stephen? Or where's Stoney?
Kids.
Yeah, where are your children? She would have all these excuses about, oh, they're upstairs, or they're this, they're that. At this time, like, I think after the fact of her being basically put on CPS's radar, she pulled them out of school and started to, quote, homeschool. I think at this point, there was no homeschool. We know that there was no homeschool.
She just took them out of school.
She took them out of school. But apparently, at this point, I was like, these laws are crazy. There was no, like, mandatory reporting that had to go on in the city of Detroit. As far as, like, homeschooling courses or anything like that. So all you had to do was be like, I'm homeschooling my kids, and that was the end of it. Like, there was no other follow-up, there was no anything else that had to be done. That was it.
Yeah,
period.
I'm shocked by that, because I think around here you have to, I think you have to do quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Right? There's quite a bit to be done to just homeschool your kid. You can't just snatch them out and homeschool it.
Right.
I think especially after she had the record of basically,
right.
I don't know what you call it, signs of abuse, because she's not convicted of it. I guess, like, she has a record now that says that she is noted down as abusing her children.
How
do you even say, like, yeah, but you can homeschool, and they can be with you all day long. And that course, I feel like if anything, like, some more rehabilitation, like, something else to kind of, like, because that's sketchy. Like, that's super sketchy.
Right. Because I feel like you said, I was thinking the same. I'm like, okay, so maybe there's not a mandated reporting for homeschooling your children. But if you have a history of abusing your children, then maybe you should have different rules.
I thought that was something. I don't know what, like, so I don't know what the case is in.
This is 2012 though.
Yeah.
So.
But still, there should be something. But again, I don't know, like, the state of Detroit right then. I know Detroit has a lot of problems with gun violence, gang stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, like, this is just not at the front of, like, policies right now in Detroit. Then stuff like this is just going, like, not undocumented, but basically it's not their main priority. So they're not passing laws for, they're not passing regulations to protect children. And that's kind of what it seems like. Because I know that there's a lot going on in Detroit to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the case. They're just, like, spending the budget on that versus, like, caring about children. But it seems at this point it's almost, like systematic. They don't have the laws in place to really protect children. Because, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. And you know what I thought about? I thought about the Releisha Rudd joint that we did. And how she disappeared from school. And people didn't do, like, I feel like, as much as they should have done. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. Releisha Rudd. We have an episode on that. They didn't do as much as I thought they should have. But at the same time, I do feel as if multiple people called and were like, hey, this little girl is not
from school.
But with these kids, she just was like, nah, they're not coming to school no more. And they were like, cool.
I don't think the mom could have done that. I don't think in the Melissa Rudd case, the mom could have called and say, oh, well, she's withdrawn. I don't think you can do that in this area. You can't withdraw children that way. So, like I said, that's really weird, especially with her past. To be able to withdraw her is really both the son and the daughter, to withdraw both of them is really
crazy. All four. She would do all four of them.
Oh, that's just the two kids.
No.
Oh.
All four of her children she withdrew, and they were homeschooled, and they didn't really come out the house or anything like that.
That makes me think, though. Sorry, not to cut you off, but that makes me think. What is the regulation behind homeschooling? Because when you really think about it, like, how much checking in? I don't think everyone who's taking their kids are abusing their kids. But what really is the regulation behind, like, taking your kids out and homeschooling them? I know to still get the degree, you basically have to take a GED, or there's like a test, like the state test, still to graduate. But like, what? Yeah, like how do they determine that I'm a fit person to take my kid out and it's all just not a ploy? Because even, like, I feel like most cults and stuff like that and child abuse, a lot of times they want to be able to fill their kids' heads with whatever, so they take the kids out. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need to... I mean, that's... Yeah, I'm like, what... I feel like America, we tier this line of, like, controlling everything, but then we're like, we don't want to control anything. So mm-hmm. I feel like it is still people's right to raise their kids homeschooled, and a lot of people are, you know, doing a fantastic job. But I'm like, dang, like, what really does protect the children in that case? Like, if they do have an abusive parent or abusive relative, whoever, like, what protects the kids?
Nothing.
Yeah, and I feel like people will be upset. They're like, oh, so much overstep. If somebody was, like, coming every month, every 6 months, every quarter to check on, like, the situation, I feel like people will be pissed about that. But, like, what protects the children? Like, who do you have to, like...
Confirm the
therapy. You could have them doing labor all day, for real. Like, and somebody probably does.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought about that.
Me neither. So, yeah, it is, like you said, I know there's a lot of families... that, you know, doing a great job at homeschooling, but also at the same time, it's a very convenient way to abuse and manipulate.
Yeah,
it's very convenient because there's nobody around but you to see what you're doing. You're not sending a kid to school every day for people to see the marks you're putting on them. Or the kid is not going out into the world and repeating the things that you're saying to them to be like, what the fuck this kid just said? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nobody there.
There's nobody to tell, and you control how often they leave. Like, that's a lot.
So that's basically what she would say. So she would just say, like, oh, they're upstairs or there with their aunts, or just basically say they were different places based on who was asking or whatever the case may be. As far as we know, around 2012, and I will just say, disclaimer, all of this stuff going forward is from the mouth of Michelle Blair. There's nobody else to, like, dispute or deny this stuff. But I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to let you tell me. Let's get into it.
Okay, wait, just to clarify. So at this point, she's raising all of her children alone. Like, there is not a male pride. Okay.
So their dad's, from what I gathered, would come around every once in a while, but they wouldn't see their children for years at certain points. So, in my opinion, that's raising your children alone.
It is, yeah.
If your baby daddy or baby daddies don't come around for years, don't know where their kids are for years, I'm doing this shit alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is.
So, yeah, she's struggling. And she would kind of reach out to her family members because, you know, as family, they know, you know, you're struggling. So sometimes she would reach out to family members and ask them for money, ask them for help and things like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would give her the money, but then it kind of became, I guess, for lack of a better word, habitual. She kind of felt like on hard times to, like, hard times. And her family kind of told her, like, hey, I'm doing the best I can to help you, but I'm not rich. I can't keep doing this. And, you know, maybe you should go back to school, you know, She took offense to that. Like, they basically, like, whenever a family member would tell her that, like, you can't keep calling me for money. Like, you need to do, like, this has been going on for years. You need to kind of take steps to try to be self-sufficient. She would just stop talking to them and be like, fuck you, basically. And I'm like, bitch, you're real entitled, but okay. So all this leading up to basically is that in 2015 she was living in Detroit, and it kind of came to a point where, or not kind of, it did come to a point where she was going to get evicted from her apartment. She had not paid her rent in a lot of months. She was getting, like, public assistance and things of that nature, but she had not paid for the house in a long time. And so the people who conduct eviction showed up to the apartment. She was not there. And maybe, from what I've gathered, if the person is not there, then you're allowed to enter the residence. Or maybe they already have court papers that makes you allowed to rent. I don't know.
It's different in every state. Yeah. It's different everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so long story short, they enter her residence, begin to remove her items after sending her, mm-hmm. you know, the notice that she's not there, move her items. And in the living room, she had a freezer, big old deep freezer. When the people who went to remove the freezer, the eviction people, opened up the freezer, there was a large trash bag with the body of a girl, little girl, 13-year-old girl.
Oh, my God.
And this little girl was, as you can guess, her daughter, Stoney, was a little girl who was in the freezer.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait.
Imagine being that crew. Like, bruh, I didn't sign up for this shit.
But why?
We'll get to
but
that.
But why?
We'll get to it.
Like, why? Why would you do that? And then, you all are sitting around, like... What did the...
I have so many
questions. Like, what do the other children know? That
yes.
And they all sit around?
Yes. That's why I said buckle up, y'all. Because I just got started. Like it's
what?
Insane. And I feel like this story is so crazy.
And she killed the little girl and put the little... What? Like, what? Sorry. Continue on. I'm in shock. Continue. Like, what? I think I was going to say what like 20 more times.
What?
I was going to say what like a bajillion more times.
What did
like,
you just say?
Like, what?
Yes. So.
Why would you do, like, sorry, I'm done. I'm going to bleep that word out.
I'm going to tell you why. No, we're not bleep. I'm going to tell you why. So, or why she said. Like I said, I don't know if I believe this. Because bitch is insane. What? Can you believe an insane person's account of any story? I don't know. Of course, they see this, and the people are like, they're literally, I don't know if y'all know this, but like, if you work in real estate, people who hire people to conduct eviction is almost like movers. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bitch,
it's a company that does.
Yeah, it's a company. There's no time for this shit.
It's like junk removal. They just
just junk removal. So they call the police, obviously. And are like, step off. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, you said, what? Like, so.
I can't even imagine.
The police, it's crazy. They're just trying to remove junk. And the junk is like a body. So they step off from that, call the police. And then police come and they lift up the body. And underneath the body is another body.
What?
And that's a little boy's body. Steven, age 9. So there's two children's bodies in this freezer in the living room. They have been there for going on 3 years now.
Wait.
You heard me correctly.
Wait.
Yes. Yes.
I'm in shock. Because I don't even have
the woman was too stunned to speak.
Literally, I don't even have any words. I can't even speak anymore. But what? Like, we should do a what counter. Bing. Like, take a shot every time Jay says what.
And take a shot every time we say what. Every time Jay says
okay,
what.
Okay, let me open my vocabulary. Let me try to form some sentences. Mm-hmm. Wait, so they were, okay. They were in the freezer for 3 years.
The deaths were about 9 months apart. So three to four years.
So
3 to 4 years.
I was under the impression that something had happened and they had both died together.
No.
But they both died on different occasions.
Almost a year apart. Yeah.
And she stuffed them into a freezer in the apartment.
Yes. You're correct. That happened.
And... I know I don't know a lot right now, but I'm pretty sure she's responsible for it. But even to that, the fact that these children were off the map for 3 years, but not a soul noticed that they had never been seen in 3 years, that it took 3 years to find out their bodies in a freezer. I don't know what happened, but it should have been like a month and a half till someone said, we haven't seen these kids haven't gone to doctor's appointments. They don't exist anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Are they out the country? Like a wellness check. Like there should be some type. And again, people get upset about that because it's an overstep. For parents who are taking care of their kids, it is an overstep. You got to check in with the government that your kids will have every month. But at the same time, with a woman with that type of record, the fact that for 3 years, nobody ever even did a courtesy call. Like, hey, we have some resources. Maybe they could help you. Like she's on like whatever government system she's going to stay in the apartment. Nobody ever calls and said, hey, like we got some more resources that might benefit your kids, whatever, whatever. Then nobody ever noticed.
No.
A grandma, the fathers, nobody noticed.
No. For context, Stephen died in 2012. They didn't find these bodies until 2015. Stoney died in 2013.
Everybody should be ashamed of themselves.
No,
Everybody should be ashamed of themselves. Yeah. Everybody associated with these children should be ashamed of themselves. What? You don't check on your anybody granddaughter? Because I don't know where her parents are. I don't know where the father's parents are. But nobody. Nobody ever sent a phone call, sent a Christmas present to wonder where the kids were. Everybody was that hands off that they literally.
Well, one of the fathers, and this ain't shit. One of the fathers, I'll jump the gun a little bit now to answer your question. One of the fathers who was the father of Stoney did say, and this is Mr. Dorsey, did say that he would call to try to speak to his daughters. And because he had to, two together. And she would, like I said, make up excuses. And at one point even said that Stoney was upset with him and did not want to talk to him at all, period. And so he kind of just, but we'll get to them. That's some bullshit. This nigga old mad. Child support shit. Basically, in a nutshell, you're a deadbeat. So basically, when he would call on the phone or whatever, she would be like, oh, she doesn't want to talk to you, whatever, whatever. Because at the time of her death, she's like a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. So he just kind of, by his own admission, he just kind of fell off. Like he was like, oh, I called a few times and she didn't put her on the phone. So I stopped calling about your whole child. Like, you didn't pull up and be like, hey, daughter, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's so funky, though.
Like, that's crazy. That's
so fun. Like I said, if you haven't heard their voice, I get like, oh, they don't want to talk to you. No pictures. No, I get like, kids will be kids. They don't want to talk to you. But I would be like, I need a picture. I need something. I need to see here. I would have called a wellness check.
I would have pulled up.
Yeah, what?
I would have pulled up to talk to my child. Because the thing is,
if you're saying, upset with you, why you're upset with me? You're so content with them being upset with you. You're just like, dude, what are these? And for like 3 years, they were upset?
3 years.
They're so, when kids, like the way kids develop, a kid that's 6 and gone to 9 is a whole different person. A 3-year-old to a 6-year-old is a different person. 3 years? Like, I could damn near faint. Like, yes. This is so, everybody in the whole situation should be literally, I don't even know the word, ashamed of themselves. Because
they should be ashamed.
If you sat up in that, people, I feel like all of them probably piled in that courtroom and looked so sad and so teary-eyed. But for 3 years? That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's insane. I feel like if you care about your children, like, if I was to go no contact with my mother, even at my big grown age, you know what I'm saying? If I was to stop answering my mother's phone calls and be like, I'm mad at you, she might be like, okay, whatever. But after, like you said, like maybe like a week or something, she'd be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? And then I don't even know. It would not take no damn 3 years. She would be outside my residence and be like, and I'm not even a child anymore. And she still would be outside my residence and be like, hey, knock, knock, knock. Like, what? Like, why are you so mad at me? What is going on? Talk to me. And for you to just be like, her to be like, oh, she don't want to talk to you. And you to be like, cool. It's like,
yeah. Or like, give her this message. Or like, and even if she wasn't talking to me, I feel like I would be like, oh, like, I would get like Ivy or like somebody else, another aunt or somebody to, or even my mother. I'd be like, oh, mom, like, blah, blah, like, my daughter's not talking to me. Can you try to contact them? But if other people have called the house, I can't see her. Because I know, like, if I had kids, I feel like I would have my kids. If I, you know, end up in a situation, I don't have them. My mother would still be involved in their life. Hopefully my sisters would too, because they're still their aunts. So I don't know if, like, Michelle was like so estranged from everybody.
Yeah, I think that was it.
But that's, yeah, but she must have been really estranged. And even the fact, I said, even the men she had kids with, they also must have been estranged from their family that they never asked about the kids. But people do shock me though, because I feel like there are people out there and their sons have kids they're estranged from, and the family also just never ask about the children again. So a lot of people are, you know, this, it's not shocking, but a lot of times if the father is like, oh, I don't really talk to the kids, the whole family be giving up. Like, they have nieces and nephews they don't even care about because they just say, oh, well, I don't know them. So
fuck them.
Yeah, so that's not super shocking, but at least on her side and her family's side and the father themselves, it is shocking. Like, the extended family, whatever, but immediate, like, grandparents, the parents, that's shocking. Mm-hmm. And same for the state, mm-hmm. The police department, it's shocking, especially because she was accepting government benefits. Mm-hmm. The fact that nobody ever checked in, because clearly she was struggling to make the payments, and they never said, oh, do we have some resources for this woman? Like, clearly there's something we could provide to her, maybe readjust the amount. Something has got to give. They didn't check her accommodations were decent as the kids grew up. Like, what?
And her and her house was, maybe I can post the pictures, but that's funny that you say that, because her house, of course, when they came in, it's a crime scene, right? So they're gonna take a picture. The house was fucking disgusting. Mm. Like, filth. Like, I'm talking about a hoarder house. Nope. And nobody was aware that these children were living in these conditions.
Like, no filthy. Checking, like, what?
Right, I'm like, after this woman has had been on your radar, I feel like there should be some type of checking in process.
Yeah,
twice, not once, but twice, 2002 and 2005, she was reported for child abuse, twice, and there was no check in to see if she's even cleaning up her home for these children to not be in a fucking hazard zone.
Insane.
Yeah. And speaking of the fathers, I will say that in court, one of the fathers did say that he did. And that's why I'm like, you're a piece of shit. He, I guess, had moved on and was dating another woman. Mm. And the woman was giving Stoney a bath and noticed that there was marks on her. And, of course, told him. So, obviously, you can't disclose who called CPS at those instances. So, but it could have been them, but notice that there was marks and things like that, and basically they asked him, they were like, well, what did you do about that? And he was, in a nutshell, like, I mean, he didn't call, or if he did call, he didn't say he called. And he was like, yeah, I just they were healed by the time I saw them.
But
and they were like, so you didn't really do anything? And he was like, yeah, you know, I just, he didn't do anything, in a nutshell. He saw it, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, like, I don't have children, so it's always weird speaking on people and their kids.
Fuck that!
But it's like, if I had a kid, like I said, and I ended up in a situation where I was not the main primary person raising them, and I caught that they had welts on them or whatever, one, I wouldn't have sent them back. Like, I wouldn't send them back. And I would have filed for custody. And I feel like, because it seems as if, like, she wasn't, you could be like, oh, well, she was financially better off, or it's a better home. But it doesn't seem like she's financially better off, or it's a better home or better life for the kid.
It's not.
So I feel like it kind of seems like it was a personal preference, like a selfishness, that you didn't want to take on the role of raising your daughter. Mm-hmm. But I think that would have been the first thing I did. I would have been like, oh, you're not going home right now, and we're going to work on a situation to keep you here. But I wouldn't voluntarily send them back with healed bruises and, like, I don't have an explanation. No one can talk to me. Like you're going to call CBS and a kid you currently have in custody with you. Like, why would you give the child back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would keep my kid.
Yeah. I would. I feel like most people would call the police and be like, what is this?
Yeah, I wouldn't call the police and be like, off she goes. Yeah. Like,
They would call somebody, or even if, because I know a lot of times the justice system can fail people, but you would have tried your best. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would have been like, I'm going to keep my kid. I want to keep my kid. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there would have been a whole
I wouldn't have re-released. I would not have, like I said, I feel like they would have came and got me, because I guess you could say it's like kidnapping, but I would not have returned my child. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have given them back, returned them back until, like, full investigation was done. And I literally really felt like they had fallen on the playground or something. Mm-hmm. But so I felt that way. I wouldn't give them back. They could take me for kidnapping. I'm not sending my child back.
Yep. So, all this to say, so that happened, but yes, the discovery of both of the bodies happened in 2015. So at this time, Michelle Blair was not at her home. She was actually there's a few different stories. She was actually at a neighbor's house, I think babysitting the baby, or just at a neighbor's house hiding out. I don't know if the neighbor knew she was hiding out or whatever. It doesn't matter. So eventually they come over there, they find her. One of her other neighbors actually snitched because I think because she knew she was like wilding. Mm-hmm. Like she was like, yeah, she's over there at so and so's house.
Okay.
They go over there to the house and at first, of course, confront her. And this is law enforcement at this point, confront her and say, hey, this is what we found in your house. Mm-hmm. Like, what's up? This is what the fuck is going on? Yeah. And at first she denies. And then after a little bit of time, and I mean like maybe 30, 45 minutes, she basically is like, yeah, well, yeah, I did it. And she gets arrested and they bring her in to be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we're going to get into, like you said, you're like, why would she do this? Mm-hmm. Like, why would this happen? According to Michelle Blair, she says that Stoney and Steven were both sexually assaulting Matthew.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That take a shot. Oh. No, she says that the first time she ever knew of this was that, this is according to her, this is not proven, that the first time she ever knew of this was when she came home one day. Like I said, Stephen passed away, or was killed first, and then Stoney was killed the next year. So Stephen went first. She came home, and Matthew, who was the youngest, he's 6 years old at this time, was playing with his dolls. But he was doing sexual things with the dolls. This is according to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked him, why are you doing that with the dolls? Like, what is that? Like, where did you learn that type of thing? And he just kind of brushed her off, and she kept pressing him. And that's when he said, well, Steven does that to me. This is what Steven has been doing to me. Or she asked him, like, has anybody done that to you? And he said, yes, Steven did it to me. Mm-hmm. Basically, he implicated her brother and said his brother has been sexually assaulting him secretly. So she was like, she got obviously really upset and brought him in and was like, have you been doing this? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, of course, at first. But then she kept asking him and he said, yes.
How old would he be at this time?
Steven would Steven would be 9 at this time.
Uh-huh.
And then Matthew would be 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Matthew's 6, Steven's 9, and he's saying that he his brother has been sexually assaulting him. And so she said that, well, shit, we already in here now, but trigger warning, it gets weird. And it gets dark. So she's like, yeah, I don't, like, we're not about to do this. So she proceeds to start beating Steven. So she starts hitting him. She starts punching him, choking him. She said at one point she put a plastic bag over his head because the younger boy said that, oh my God. I'll just say, I would say, I won't hear it. I think I made a decision. I won't. Actually, I haven't. We'll see. The tapes are disturbing, but I'll gloss over it. She basically said that, like, she was like, it was a lot of things that were coming together because she said her younger son used to, quote, wet the bed. And he, like, all of a sudden he started wetting the bed. He didn't wet the bed. The younger son, after the fact, said that it was the older boy who was coming in his bed. They had bunk beds and was sexually assaulting him and then peeing on him in the bed. And so, and then he was like, yeah, sometimes when he'd hold me down, of course she put plastic on the mattress because it's like, you're not about to ruin the mattress. She said after the fact, he was like, and sometimes he hold my head down in the plastic and I can't breathe and like things like that. So she was like, that's why I put the plastic on him because I was so angry. And I was like, oh, you want to put people's face in plastic? Like, you like your face in plastic? And just shit like that. Like, basically vengeful stuff. Uh-huh. And so I was like, this is dark. But keep in mind, this lady's not well. So I don't even want to put this on that deceased little boy. Because I don't even know if that's the truth.
I don't even know how to even, like I said, I don't even know. So, yeah, there's like a lot.
Is that the truth?
I said it's like, were any of the kids able to like testify? Or did they make any of the kids like talk about like them seeing any of the murders or any experiences they had? Because like, honestly, like for a 9-year-old to even exhibit that type of behavior, unfortunately, if it is true, and I'm leaning to say I don't think it is all true, but if he was sexually abusing his brother in that man, in that manner. A 9-year-old isn't even, like, developed in that state. So either he was sexually abused and was reproducing the acts. If that really is the truth of it, then he probably had been sexually abused and was reproducing that with his brother, which is really that's the darkest of the dark. But that, just thinking about children, I don't know if that's even really, I don't know, man. I'm not really trying to think about that. But I don't think that makes a lot of sense to me. That's hard for me to do. But what does make sense to me is the fact that she had sexual trauma, she was mentally not there, and she was unhealed from it. So it kind of gets it that she would project that maybe onto her children, because she did, it was like the mother's female friend. So she experienced like a same sex, like sexual assault. So maybe she put that like on her, maybe she like projected that onto her sons and was pushing through her trauma that way, and kind of like imagine that and suffocated the little boy, because it seemed like she wasn't really there. Because that's just the kids, even the fact that if it was going on, then the little boy probably did face some other type of sexual trauma to even think about reproducing those acts, because that's just so dark. Like, that's dark as fuck. Like,
yeah.
I don't think children even think in those type of terms for them to, I'm sorry, that's a lot. Like,
yeah, so that's why I said, sorry in advance.
That's very dark. Yeah, that's probably the darkest thing I'm ever going to hear. Really dark. Like, I don't even know if this, I don't think there is a rating. That's dark.
Yeah. It is dark. So that's what most people are like, hey, I don't, like you said, at 9 and 6, I don't think that, and even I'm not even gonna go into all the details, but she did crazy stuff, put strangling and things like that, saying like, oh, well, he said you strangled him. Like, for a 9-year-old to strangle and rape and do all this stuff, I just find it hard to believe that they do that. Like, I do know that kids who have been sexually abused may tend to sexually do other sexual acts with other kids, but it's abuse. But the violence
intent of it is insane.
Yeah,
like, that's insane. Like, the fact, and then peed on top of him. What type of kid? Y'all
think to piss on
I'm sorry. Your that's brother. Not, like I said, either he faced some, maybe the boy made some extreme, it would have to be extreme trauma he faced to reproduce those acts. But I'm sorry. Like I said, it feels like she's projecting, because that's insane. That is insane.
Yeah. And I will say that it was never proven, like the sexual violence was never proven anything in court or whatever, because he said, we're talking about full blown rape. At this point, like between the older brother and the younger brother, he said that it was rape. So you can, you know, do like look at the body and see like trauma and things like that. That was never proven, but what was proven was like welts, beatings, things like that. But that was, she did that. So they were never able to prove that the older brother did these things to his younger brother. So he was like 9, so I don't, it's like, I don't want to throw salt on his name, because it's like, it wasn't proven. I feel like what's most likely is that she was the, I'm like, and how you gonna be the abuser and say you protecting your kids from the abuser, but you doing abuse? I don't believe you, bro.
She's really mentally like deranged.
Something's wrong with her.
The whole thing's a lie. She was found to be abusing her children, and then, but she happens to have all these like demonic children in her house. Like, her son's basically like the devil reincarnated at this point.
Right.
So I'm like, that's wild. I'm like, that's a bit crazy. But what isn't crazy is the idea that she's projecting that or has some type of undiagnosed mental health issue that's making up all these hallucinations. Because like I said, even the way she's describing it is the type of assault that grown people do and grown people reject. And I just don't, like, I'm sorry. Like, that,
I don't think a child would think to do
that. I don't think that's, no.
Mm-mm. I don't think so. So, the reason, I will say, I won't go into it. Like I said, I still am, we'll see if I post the clips. If I do, it's probably be at the end. But that was her reason for, she said, murdering Steven. She said she got so angry and so upset that she just, but she also said, she said she didn't mean to kill him, which we'll get into later on about Stoney. She said she didn't mean to kill him, and that she was just so angry and she just kept doing those things. She even burned them. Like, burned. She said she made him stand in the tub and throw scalding hot water on his penis until he like to the skin came off. Like it was like she was going crazy on him, and it's like you have some type of, and to think that you're serving your son some type of justice, he's watching this, you're traumatizing him further. You're not right in the head to think that this is gonna help. But I almost think that she, in her head, she was so angry about like her past sexual assault. Yeah. She's thinking like, this is what I wanted somebody to do my for abuser, me.
Yeah.
And turned around and did it. But it's like, but did that happen though? Or are you just not right?
I think here. I really don't think she's not right. I think she really just mentally, like, honestly, the more I think about it, it's just so mentally fucked up. And I don't know if they found, like, the burn wounds on the kid's body, but a part of me feels like she murdered these kids in cold blood and then just sat in court and just said whatever the hell she thought would get somebody to think. Because I feel like, I don't even know if she even had these, like, thoughts, or she was just like, how do I get out of this? And just made this whole thing up and just started, like, spewing her guts in court, because I don't even know if her brain even, like, imagined that. I don't know what, like, is going on, but... Yeah.
Well, we're still talking about Steven. Look, we done got sidetracked. Let's get back on track.
Okay.
So we're talking about Steven. So they said, that's what happened with Steven. She said, yeah. She said, I didn't mean to kill him. But, and mind you, this abuse went on for like 2 weeks. This abuse that she was doing to him. And he finally, obviously, she made him drink Windex. This abuse went on for like 2 weeks. And he finally passed away because she was doing such brutal things to him. So he passed away, and she came in and she basically was like, yeah, his heartbeat was really like faint and things like that, and it's usually strong. And I was listening to another, I don't know if it was the Crime Watch Daily thing or a podcast, I don't remember, but they were like, that's an abuser thing, like they'll beat up on people and then check the pulse or check the
heartbeat. She would beat him a lot.
Yeah, to make sure that they're still alive. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I whooped your ass, but I want to make sure you don't die on me because I don't want a murder charge. But like, I'm just making sure that you're still, that your heart's still beating. Fuck you, but I want to make sure your heart's still beating. And I'm like, yeah, that is weird. Now that I think about it, I've never checked nobody's heartbeat.
That's so weird. And they'd be like, oh, well, it's normally this strong. Yeah, like she's like, I think it's all, like, the more I think that, I don't even know if she was having this internal battle. I think she was just abusing this, like, her kids. I think she wasn't, like, mentally right. And then she got in court and said some crazy, horrendous lie she thought would make people be like, oh my God, that kid. That kid's the devil. When, like, that's not a kid. Mm. That's crazy. Mm.
So after that, she proceeded to, after she said, like, she went in his room, noticed that he was vomiting, noticed that he was passing away, basically, in essence. He passed away, and then she proceeded to place his body in the freezer. Got it. And
they with said, all the other kids, are just, they just witnessed her put his body, okay.
Yes, they're aware. They were aware. Mm. So she also said that, after the fact, she went on about her life, and even she called at one point. I don't know if this was after murdering Steven or if this was after murdering Stoney, but she actually called 911 and asked a hypothetical question. Quote, she called 911 and asked, hey, I have a friend. Just like, girl, oldest trick in the book, what friend? But it don't matter. She called 911 and asked, she said, I have a friend whose kid, one of their older children, was abusing their younger children. In theory, basically, is what she said. What would happen if I reported this to the police or things like that? And then the 911 operator said, well, we will remove everyone from the home and conduct an investigation, you know, whatever. And she hung up. And I feel like the craziest thing is, I'm like, so y'all niggas
nobody
never called
ever
back?
Called back. Yeah.
What the fuck? Y'all not about to call back and be like, hey, like, who's the
friend?
Or just
friend? Send somebody,
Send someone to the address and be like, hey, did you called 911? Like, we're here to investigate on what you just said. Like, what the fuck?
What?
So, that was just it. But there's a recording of it. She did it. And she hung up and it was done. Like, nobody came after her. Nobody inquired further about it. Mm. Nobody did anything. Fast forward to 2013. I guess the... smaller boy Matthew started to say that his sister, according to her, said that his sister Stoney was also sexually abusing him, and saying that she was forcing him to do sexual acts on him. forcing him to do sexual acts on her, and you know, just doing just similar things that Stephen had been doing. So she kind of did more of the same, but she also did say that she meant to kill Stoney. She said, with Stephen, I really didn't mean to kill him. Like, I guess it was an accident. Like, bitch, what you thought was going to happen? But with Stoney, I didn't mean to kill her. And I did it intentionally because I was like, how are you going to do this after? This is so crazy. It's like, your brother's in the freezer. Why are you still sexually assaulting people or whatever the fuck? So she ended up murdering Stoney in much of the same way, with very much like violence, abuse, things like that. They said she hit her in the head with a 2x4. Where the fuck you get a 2x4? It was wild. And then she proceeded to put her body too in the freezer, which is why we have two bodies at the freezer. As mentioned, the oldest daughter, to answer your earlier question, said that the mother made her help her put Stoney's body
in the freezer.
Yes. So that's why you said, did they know? I was like, yeah, they knew.
Yeah, and that's why, okay, so honestly, I think that the whole thing about the, again, I don't know, I never will know, about the sexual abuse of, what's the little boy's name?
Matthew.
I think that's so weird, because I think that, I mean, I don't know, right? But I think the little girl would be so traumatized after seeing her brothers in the freezer. I think none of them probably would have whispered a word. I feel like they probably just sat up there shaking. So the idea that they were still running amok in the house, and now both the kids have been tainted, that both the kids are carrying out sexual acts on a little boy, like, what? Like, take a shot. That doesn't make any sense. Like,
it doesn't.
If I saw my mother kill one of my siblings and put them in the freezer, I'd never talk again. I would have never said a peep again in that house. I probably would have sat in a corner shaking with a breakout plan.
Facts, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be running amok like that. What? And you mean to tell me that both the kids in that house have been so sexually traumatized that they were doing this on the same? Like, that's really dark. Like, that's really, really. And I feel like we've had other, like I said, I don't know, man. I don't want to speak about something I don't know about. But we've done other cases where there was, like, rampant, like, sexual abuse in the house. But I've never seen reports of them, young children, then carrying out the abuse on each other. And someone can correct me on it, because I'm not an expert. I don't know nothing about it. And I feel like I just like to live in a land where I hope that doesn't happen. But even the one, like, the vampire cult, like, there were no reports of the children. Yeah, and it was rampant. There were kids in that house that were, like, 10 years old who were being raped. And there are no, I haven't seen reports of the children themselves then deciding to carry out those acts on the other children in the house. The house was full of children.
Mm-hmm.
I
tend to think that I tend to think she's a fucking liar. I tend to think she has PTSD.
Yeah.
I believe her when she says what happened to her.
Yeah.
I think she had PTSD.
I think
and was like or some other type of mental health issue or whatever. I don't think, and here's the thing. The kids have never, like, the oldest daughter has never said, like, the oldest daughter, all she said is that they were all victims at the hands of Michelle Blair, that she would abuse all the children. The youngest one, he was too young, and, you know, I don't think he's ever said anything. So there's really no way to know. Like, I feel like the only way to know is to ask the youngest son, did this really happen, or was this something that your mom prompted you to do, or, you know, what's going on here? But they never have. Because getting into the case, she decided to plead guilty. So
there never was a trial.
Never was a reason to bring the kids up and have them talk about this and talk about that, or, you know, recount their trauma. The oldest one did. I don't think Matthew ever did, because, like I said, at this time, he's very young, probably like 9, if we're going on 3 years, 3 years, he's probably like 9 or 10. He's young, you know, you don't want to put people through that trauma to have to talk about what they went through again. Yeah. But the oldest daughter did say that they were abused and since birth, basically, by their mother. She doesn't remember a time when she wasn't abused by her mother. So to think that this lady is like, oh yeah, I was being my kid's savior.
She was, no. It's all lies.
As opposed to, you're an abuser and you lost control.
Yeah.
Which one makes more sense?
Yes.
Which one makes more sense?
Like I said, she's just an abuser. And all of this probably could have been avoidable. But I think, like I said, she has like probably some type of undiagnosed order, PTSD. But it really should have never gotten there. I felt there were so many opportunities to help her children and nobody did, which is like the saddest part. Because I feel like it all could have been really avoidable. And now the more I think about it, like even logistically, I'm like that. They lived in a 2-bedroom apartment or a 1-bedroom apartment. And nobody heard, saw the chaos. Like what? Like when like I feel like all the kids must have shared a bedroom or a bunch of them shared a bedroom. Like that, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that, yeah. Did they ever like die? Did she ever get a or I guess when you plead guilty, you don't get those like a mental health check, or they don't like.
No, she had I think two or three mental health checks because they have to determine if you're fit to stand trial. Mm-hmm. And they determined that she was
fit to stand trial.
She was fit to stand trial, and that she knew exactly what she had done.
What?
Yep. That was the diagnosis. That nothing. I don't know. I won't say quote nothing's wrong with her. Like she, I'm sure she probably has other mental health issues. But as far as like we're talking about murder charges, all you have to do is determine that this person knew they were murdering when they were murdering, and she did, and she said it, and it was so bad. Like the judge asked her like 3 or 4 times in the court proceedings, like, "Do you know what you're doing?" Like. You're pleading guilty. Like, we're going to give you a life sentence. Mm. And she was just like, I know. And she asked her a few more times. And then she even asked her attorney, did you talk to her about this? Like, this is very abnormal. She was like, yeah. But she even said on the stand in court, she said she doesn't have any remorse for it. She said that Stoney and Steven were demons. They're not her children. She doesn't claim them as her children. And that she was protecting her other children by murdering them, and that she has no remorse at all for what she did, and that they deserve what they got.
I think she might honestly just be, I feel like I talk about it sometimes, I feel like when I like can't get a grip on it, I feel like she might just be like demonic, like to be honest, because that's just so wild.
It's crazy.
Because the fact that she is like, I guess like, I don't know if she is diagnosed, but the fact she could stand trial and was like, yeah, like my kids are demons and stuff like that, like I don't know, like I feel like she just, like there's a spirit, or I feel like it just blibbles her. Is a spirit in her or something has possessed this woman, because that's it's just demonic. Yeah, it's just that's just insane. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to say like, oh, I'm always gonna protect my kids, I'm like, you let your kids watch you kill their siblings and put them in a freezer and live in that house for years,
and then for 3 years she still
that's kept protection
custody. For 3 years she still kept custody of her kids. Like I said, like nobody checked in, nobody called, so nope. For 3 years those kids live in the household
knowing that their brother and their sister is in the freezer.
I don't know how you recover from that. I don't know how I would ever recover from that. Even after they move you home, they move you across state lines, put you in protection, change your name, right? I don't know how you ever recover that. I don't know how you ever live a life again, honestly.
Well, the oldest daughter is, like I said, she's grown at this point, but they have like programs, and from what I gathered, programs and things like that for people who are victims of certain type of violent crimes. She's in one of those programs. And then the youngest boy, Matthew, he was adopted by a different family. Mm-hmm. And she had the nerve, Michelle had the nerve to try to maintain custody.
Of him?
Of both of them. And say that she wasn't, they had to go to another trial because she didn't want to give up custody of Matthew and the oldest daughter, and was basically saying like, I'm, in a nutshell, I'm a good mom. The other ones were just demons, but I'm not giving up my other children. And so people were like, ma'am, like you have, but you know, there's a court process that you have to go through. So they had to go through the court process. She had to show up in court. And, but also you have the other instance of the fathers who had to bring the fathers in because they have rights to their children, even though they fucking should have. Your daughter's been dead for 3 years and you didn't even know. You should have no rights. But there's a whole court process you have to go through. And so they brought the fathers in basically to get the rights so that the state could get the rights to put the children where they needed to be.
What did the father say? Like when they went to, what did they
say? Dorsey didn't show up. And well, he showed up a little bit after the fact, like, but he didn't take it seriously. And then Steven Senior it was like,
what?
I mean, he didn't actually, I'm flipping it. Steven didn't show up.
Okay.
Dorsey was the father of Stoney and the oldest daughter. Mm. like I said, he was the one who was like, oh yeah, I've seen the bruises before, but then I was calling and she didn't respond, so I kind of said fuck it. And then the other one was just kind of like do 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 do. It's like,
bro, everything is so fucked up. I'm definitely gonna need to do something before I go to bed tonight. This is so messed up. This is,
watch something positive. But yeah, I was just like, so basically in a nutshell, the fathers did not, they just were like, and I honestly feel like the one that didn't show up, I'm like, nigga, you probably did better. Because the one that did show up, I'm like, nigga, your daughter's been dead for 3 years. Don't come up here and try to save face. Mm-hmm. Most normal people, their child could not be dead for 3 years. And you didn't know. You are a piece of shit. You're not as much of a piece of shit as Miss Ma'am, because you didn't mm-hmm. commit the murder. But you're... You suck.
But everybody, you suck. It's like everybody involved. Like anybody who,
everybody
like,
sucks.
Like
here.
All the family who showed up to the funeral, showed up to court, and like cried in those chairs about, oh my god, like we didn't know. Like years. Like that's crazy.
Years.
Like if I didn't see either of my nephews, my nieces for 3 years, and I go to court, like, oh my god, like what?
Years.
Like I said, maybe I said I think both of them are shit, but the fact that he didn't show up, it's like, why would you show up and sit in the court and cry and act like somebody owes you remorse when you're just as bad? Well, you're not just as bad, but you're horrible too.
You suck.
Yeah.
You suck. You suck ass. Like, for real, for real. You dead ass right now? Your child was dead for years and you didn't know. That's what you're telling me right now?
Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Your minor child. It's not even like you can
assume. They're little children.
Yeah, I would say it's not even like you can assume, like, my grown-ass kid doesn't like me no more. Yeah. They went to Aruba and never came back. You can't even say. This is a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old.
I'm saying, they don't have cell phones. They don't have anything. Like, there's nowhere to contact them. And you would just trust that they're fine? Like, what?
Oh, because they didn't want to be parents anyway, period. Both of them didn't want to be parents. So, you're a deadbeat. And I'll just throw this in there. One of them was like $30,000 behind and back child support. The other one was like $10,000 behind and back child support. So, needless to say, they weren't the most upstanding daddies. Mm. And that just is what it is. So... Mm. But I'm like, damn, even if you behind in child support, you could know if your child is alive for 3 years. Damn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I think that, yeah.
Are you breathing? Shit.
It's like, I don't even know if you, if the United States can make, I mean, I know, I feel like Detroit as a system, they dropped the ball, but like, I'm thinking about like the fathers, I think it is kind of like outstanding that you really can't just drop dead out of your child's life and have like no, like, repercussions for that, in the sense that like now they're dead, and it's like, I feel like when you have a child, like whether you slice or dice, if you don't sign papers, you're still 50% responsible for like taking care of them and their livelihood and raising them. And the fact that like you dropped off so bad that you didn't notice they were dead, like I feel like that should be a charge of neglect. I know it isn't, but I feel like, is that not neglect in itself? They like, what? Like,
take a shot.
Sorry, that was my last one. I'm done. I don't know.
No, I feel like that is neglect, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's crazy because I feel like neglect, like the definition or what we come to know it as, is like neglecting the children within your presence. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like the fact that the children have not been in your presence for 3 years, that is neglect in my opinion as well. Unless you're going to sign over your rights.
Right.
Sign over your rights. And be done with it and be detached from it. But if you're supposed to be taking care of this child and you have not taken care of them for 2 whole years, to me, that's neglectful. It don't matter if their mom is getting them Pampers and pull-ups and clothes and shoes or whatever. You are being neglectful. But it doesn't fall on you because you're not the one who's running the household. That's crazy,
isn't it? Crazy. And they and walk around free. I feel like it's
foot loose and fancy.
Yeah, I feel like it's on their conscience, but at the same time, it's like, ugh, I don't know. That's a really rough one. Like I said, I know there isn't any legal recourse for that, but that's insane that you can do that. And then I said, you could show up in court and boohoo, and then you can go walk around like to this day and just like move, push forward.
That's what they did.
Yeah,
I mean, it's moving on. Obviously, they took the for obvious reason. They took those children. They terminated their rights, mm-hmm. the fathers. And then gave them, you know, adoption opportunities and things like that. So Matthew is with a new family. The oldest daughter is a grown up now. So she's, you know, doing her thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she don't want to be
associated
with that type of stuff. But yeah, I understand more and more as I get older why some like women will like drop their babies on their baby daddy doorstep and be like, here, nigga, like you're tripping. Like when I worked as a waitress, somebody's baby mother did that.
I am reasonable with
that. Yeah, and was like, hey, like you, I have to work. So I have to work too. So what are you talking about? Like I feel like a lot of it falls on, and we're not even talking about Michelle this one. Fuck this bitch. This bitch is crazy. But at the same time, like you said, I feel like they should have some type of consequence for just disappearing on their children for years and years and years and years. And if you don't want the consequence, then sign over your rights so that you won't be responsible for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's insane.
Well, okay. Sorry I fucked you guys up.
Yeah, man. Fuck me up too.
So. Sorry, Jet. Alright, well, we're calling y'all conspiracies on Instagram. We're calling y'all conspiracies at gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this case. I guess there's not really much to think. It is what it is. Yeah. Huh? There's no mystery. But hope you guys like this episode. Thank you for the people who reach out and send us suggestions. We love suggestions. So yeah, shout out to y'all, and we hope to see you again next week. Bye.